got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage. Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. Here we are in the Allo Communications studios. I'm Nick Kenny with Micah Kilpatrick behind the glass. We are missing Scott Magerflesh, a.k.a. Darth Monger, but you have Darth Harmonic and Darth Ambivalous here instead.
Indeed, we do.
Text 888.
So I should warn everybody. I'm kind of an insomniac now for some reason.
Well, so, now I don't even know who to text. Who if they want to text us in right now?
You can text KFK to 888-530-0043.
Whoa, here we go.
I don't know how to get the text line open unless it's already open, but you can certainly text us.
We just don't know when or if we will get it.
Yes.
Well, Darth Monger is in Florida this week, and he had the con last week, so we're just going to go kind of rogue until we're all back in person together, the three of us, for next week's episode.
Are we going to go rogue, or are we going to get mad?
We're going to go rogue.
Go mad.
Rogue One. We're going to go Rogue One.
No, but Rogue One is Star Wars.
Okay.
We don't want to talk Star Wars this week. We want to talk Marvel.
There is a lot of Marvel to talk about.
Including Multiverse of Madness. That's why we're going to go mad.
Now I'm picking up what you're laying down, Micah.
Now you're picking up my lame joke.
This is what happens when I take a week off. Get me back in the helm is a bit difficult. I got to enjoy, Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness, the Sunday after it came out. So spoilers coming up ahead, but Micah, well, let's get the warnings going first.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
You know, I need to see it again.
I kind of feel the same way. I not need to see it again, really want to see it again. I can see it enough to tell you how much I like it. I don't know if I can tell you if it's the best Marvel movie. I know it's not the best. Not better than Spider-Man 3. But it's pretty darn good.
Well, it's good because it opened up so much for the MCU to take.
Oh my God, did it open up so much.
And kind of unfairly so. You know, I'm just
It added characters that I wasn't familiar with and then killed them off immediately.
Absolutely immediately. So all those teasers of who we're going to get from the Fantastic Four, from X-Men, you know, we had Professor X. We heard the voice in the trailer of Professor Xavier. And we got John Krasinski as, what's his name, Mr. Fantastic?
Yeah. That had been a rumor for a long time.
Well, a lot of fans have wanted to see him in this role. So will he actually reprise that role in the next Fantastic Four? Or is this to placate the fans who've been like, you know what, we want to see John Krasinski, who's Jim from The Office, who's wrote and directed A Quiet Place.
Both of them. And both movies were really good.
Absolutely they were. You know, my first impression, though, of the Multiverse of Madness wasn't very good.
Oh, really?
Well,
now we can't be friends.
Well, there's been a lot of that teetering, though, over the years with the shows. I love Doctor Strange's character. You know, I watched the Spider-Man No Way Home right before that just to refresh myself because you knew, that was kind of leading up to why this multiverse was fractured. But I did not really care for Wanda being the bad guy the entire time. I knew she was going to play a role. I like the twist, don't get me wrong. From her, you know, living her beautiful life with all those great trees to it just being, you know, Mustafar, except in the MCU. But I wish they would have dived into more about the Darkhold and what that did to her, because it just seemed that she was in a decent place after she had fled Westview from WandaVision. It was like, okay, we're going to get Wanda back, and she's going to be like the good Scarlet Witch, like she's always meant to be. And no. And we saw what she was capable of, the power that she amassed, but they didn't do, I don't think, justice the explaining the Darkhold and how that really impacts the person who's reading out of it, who touched it, who's drawing the power from it.
I didn't have a problem with that. We saw the book at the end of, it was the final moments. She was reading this book, and it was the final moments of WandaVision. And I think a lot of people assumed, oh, crap, she's going to turn into an evil witch. She's going to become the bad person. And she is the most powerful character of all the Avengers. She practices magic, and she has powers from one of the Infinity Stones. So she would make an excellent bad guy.
And fair.
Boy, is she powerful in this movie.
Oh, gosh, no one stands a chance.
She just wrecks everybody.
You know, we got it was a really good movie. Visually stunning. The story arc wasn't really difficult to follow. It was just, where's this going next? How are they going to come back from this? I don't think Wanda's gone. There's no way Wanda's gone.
No, she can't be gone. And by the way, John Krasinski will be in the Final Four. According to IMDb.
Final Four? Fantastic Four?
Sorry. Wow. Why am I thinking basketball? He's going to be in the Fantastic Four. Doesn't have the announcement of the year. And as we all know, they switch dates every now and then. So
again, don't this is kind of what Marvel's been doing. Well, Disney has been doing is pushing things back more and more and more and more.
And Sony just did that recently with Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? If that means that they're just polishing things up and they're maybe taking fan reactions from what they're seeing in the movies that are coming out, I think that's appropriate to kind of push back. I mean, I'd love to see him. But again, as we've talked about on the Nerd Show before, there's so much stuff to watch. No matter what you're passionate about, how nerdy you might be, if you're just a fan of anything sci-fi, there's so much to watch. And I kind of wanted more. I was surprised it was only a 2-hour film for how much that they packed into it. And it went by pretty quickly, too.
Did it feel overly packed, or did it feel just right to you? Because to me, it felt just right. I wasn't overly confused when they brought in the Illuminati. So let's explain first. What happens is Doctor Strange, our Wanda, she wants her kids so badly that she finds out a way to get to the kids. And her way to get to the kids
is a different multiverse.
Yeah, it was through the multiverse, through a character named America Chavez. And so she's chasing this. I think she's supposed to be 15 in the show. So she's chasing her around using a monster. And at the beginning of the show, an alternate Doctor Strange is trying to save her life.
And he looks kind of like our Strange, but you can tell it wasn't really Strange.
Yeah, just a little more gray hair.
Yeah.
Just a little different of a uniform.
They did enough.
And he dies.
Oh, yeah.
He gets wrecked. He's trying to save her life. He realizes he can't save her life, so he tries to steal her power to make sure that the demon chasing her doesn't steal her power.
And deliver it to Wanda.
Yeah.
Because the power she has, she can jump through multiverses, and no one else can do that, which is strange because we got a bit of that in what was that show with all the individual episodes, the cartoons? We reviewed it.
Yeah.
What If?
That was great.
And
certain episodes were great.
Yeah, they were able to travel through the multiverse. So, with them kind of leading up, it felt a little disconnected of how shocking this was because they did already introduce this in that cinematic universe.
But they had to.
Well,
I think
know.
They had to do that because how many people would be confused with all the different characters? People would be like, who is this? Why is Peggy Carter Captain Carter? And I like the fact that they introduced Captain Carter before we got Captain Carter.
Oh, yeah,
it wouldn't be, we would have so many mind-blowing moments. And we
From What If. Yeah.
And thankfully, we were prepared for so many of these. We already had, like, we had a mind-blowing moment with Peggy Carter, but we already knew that she existed. So we didn't have, like, two, like, oh, my God.
You know, it's... I liked seeing a lot of this multiverse with humans, not just in a cartoon. But I'm surprised they didn't go into more multiverses. They didn't bring in more people, more characters. Well, I was questioning why they didn't, but I like that they didn't introduce too many because they had
that would have been overwhelming.
Earth and Earth, what 8813 or 686 or something like that.
Yeah, we are Earth 616.
And I was surprised they didn't try to find more to bring in more people to try to take on Scarlet Witch, but...
I don't think they had time. They honestly did not have time.
Well, so she's chasing Strange, so he finally decides to help a little America Chavez because he realizes what Wanda is doing. I mean, he goes there, and I picked that up really quickly when she mentions her name, and Strange's spidey senses started tingling like, this isn't right, and then you just saw how bad she became.
She became bad fast.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how much time had passed since Westview.
I assumed a few months.
Yeah, but still, that's a very small amount of time for her to amass that kind of power. But we saw in the end credit scene from WandaVision, she was, you know, out of her kind of mortal self, what Strange did to Spider-Man. She was there studying while she was, you know, keeping herself alive. We'll talk more about Doctor Strange 2, the Multiverse of Madness, when we come back from this break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. We are reviewing Doctor Strange 2, the Multiverse of Madness, and we're just going to wrap through that and give our impressions. Spoilers. Careful, everybody. Wanda just went crazy, taking out the Illuminati that she did, killing Charles Xavier. I mean, that was just mean. Who was a character who had the mouth who could just whisper and kill you?
I am not – he's one of the characters that I'm not familiar with, but she destroyed that guy in a brutal way. This was a darker movie than usual.
It really was. I'm grateful for that. They're really pushing the limits there, and I'm curious where they're going to take it beyond this. But, you know, after taking down the Illuminati the way that she did was – oh, my gosh. That is powerful. That is amazing. That is horrifying. How the heck does Doctor Strange –
not only that – she took out, like, all of the magic characters. Like, she took out, except for, like, Wong and, like, two other people, four other people. She basically took everybody out.
From Kamataj, that's a hard word to say. That was an epic battle scene. That was, you know, Lord of the Rings-style battle, you know, of the two towers as Wanda's coming on, single-handedly taking out all these wizards and witches and...
And they're doing their best. They're using all their magic. They're trapping her, and she's figuring out ways to get around them. And she's just. Do you feel bad for her?
Well, she does. She's torn apart by everything she lost. You know, and I look back at how Thor let himself go after he lost literally everything in his life. Well, she did the same. She lost Vision. She had to kill Vision just for him to be brought back. I mean, she mentions that. To Strange.
I mean, she's also lost her entire family, too.
Well, the family wasn't really real.
Well, I mean, she lost
her
village. She lost her brother.
Oh, absolutely.
She lost the love of her life. She tried to create something for herself. She lost that. She becomes evil.
Oh,
and yet I still kind of feel bad for her.
You know,
I still
powerful.
Feel for the evil part of her. And the evil part of her is actually... she's trying to get real versions of her kids because in other universes her kids exist.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to an alternate universe trying to take over an alternate version of herself.
But in those other universes, is Vision alive? How does she have those kids?
That's interesting.
I'm curious by that because in you know, it can't just be this one universe that we experienced with Wanda for when she created these kids. So
but
did
she can create
those kids anywhere without Vision? Is Vision dead in all of those other? I mean, I guess so, unless Thanos died in a different way. But we know Thanos died because of Doctor Strange in that alternate Earth that we see with the Illuminati. And Strange snapped because he had the Darkhold too. He had that third eye. But it was powerful what America had dealt with, and because I was
America Chavez,
yeah. You know, because she had that similar experience, traumatizing experience of killing her family.
Yeah, which, by the way, guys, I'm tired of
killing the family.
Yeah, and it's not her fault. She accidentally opened a portal that she didn't know. I'm tired of like, oh, my mom and dad died or something, so now I'm a superhero.
Hey, well, she had the superhero power, and that's what brought it out in her. And I was like, why can't she harness her power throughout the film? And then that happened. I said, okay, she's just terrified of it and doesn't know how to control it. And it kind of felt like a Star Wars moment where you have a wise wizard like Obi-Wan taking on Luke. But Strange, you know, believes in her, and they help in a very smart way, because there's no way they're going to defeat Wanda by pure strength. Not even close. Even if Strange were to take America Chavez's power, he could not have destroyed Wanda. No. And for them to kind of wait for the other Wandas to say, hey, we'll take care of him. They're going to have a great life. Don't worry about it. I think that was that emotional spark that she finally felt heard, I think, for the first time maybe in her life. Well, maybe since Vision was alive.
Vision, you're right. Vision really was the only person who listened to her.
And that was from what, Civil War?
Yeah.
I think they were together.
Captain America is always like, hey, you need to stay back and, you know, be safe. He's always been kind of a babysitter. And when they were in the compound, he's always been kind of a babysitter. She's a woman.
Like, oh, yeah. A powerful one, too.
Yeah. And I think some of that was, we need to protect you from yourself. Like, she's a grown woman. She's got her own opinions. And at some point, you know, you have to treat her like that. You have to stop treating her like a kid, even though she probably was emotionally stunted from her entire life being awful. But we finally seeing her. We're seeing her as an adult. And we're seeing her as an adult make a series of horrible mistakes. And now we're able to see her, thankfully, towards the end of the movie. She was able to redeem herself. Spoiler alerts.
Well, she was.
And I did. I'm glad they didn't make her, like, the bad guy completely. She goes, she sees her kids. She realizes that her kids are afraid of her.
Oh, yeah, look at what she's doing to them. That was, I think, the most powerful moment for and the brilliance of Doctor Strange to have her experience that and say, oh my gosh, yeah, no matter where you go, your kids are going to be terrified of you. It's Marvel. She's not dead. It looks like she's dead, but I don't think she is.
She just had some rocks fall on her. Rocks.
She's powerful.
She'll burst out of that. She blew up some magic temple that she was destined to take over.
Oh, yeah, and it was her statue basically behind her on the throne. Really, to defeat Wanda, Strange has to take the Darkhold. And, you know, Wong is pretty concerned as the Sorcerer Supreme. Like, hey, it's been a few weeks. Are you feeling okay? And then that ends with that epic, like, okay, you see that third eye, which that evil Doctor Strange had. And that was a pretty dang cool fight scene, too. Like, wow. Strange versus Strange was fantastic.
Strange versus Strange. Fighting each other with music notes. I mean, yes. How much fun did Danny Elfman probably have composing that?
I wonder to do that with the Greeley Philharmonic. How do we get music notes to fly across from section to section so the brass can take on the woodwinds and the strings can take on the percussion?
That would be cool.
Awesome for me. I was just thrilled and loving every moment of that fight sequence.
Well, now you know why Danny Elfman did this, because Sam Raimi was directing. Danny Elfman has worked with Sam Raimi before on this first Spider-Man, the first three Spider-Men in the early 2000s.
Tobey Maguire ones, yeah.
Yeah, so they've worked well together before. It's perfect to use two guys who have worked well before.
So where do we go from here? We see Doctor Strange with the third eye, and he gets, you know, it's like, uh-oh, are we going to lose Doctor Strange now? Is he going to be the next Wanda? Because if he took down Wanda, does that make him more powerful than Wanda? I don't think so, because she's got the Infinity Stone, you know, power harnessed in her. But it is alarming to see where this could go. But then who collects him? Who is that mysterious character? I had never – well, and I'm not a comic book person, but she recruits him. And he seems to have kind of a little bit of control over that that little third eye he has. You don't know who she is either, do you, Micah?
I don't know. I wasn't sure who that was, and I promised myself that at some point after I saw it, I would do the research, but shame on me, I didn't.
Yeah, I should have too. But we can certainly talk about this more, as I want to see it again. I truly do. I think a lot happened. A lot of awesome moments when you bring in the Illuminati, when you have all those recurring characters that we had seen who, you know, did turn evil in Doctor Strange, the original one, you know, Mordo, it's like, oh, but he's not. They're not nemesis. He's not the ally of the Ancient One. He's a Sorcerer Supreme in that universe. So it was... I'm excited for what they're going to be able to do with them opening up this multiverse. And with Strange, is he going to be able to communicate? Is he going to be able to share that power with somebody else? Or is he going to go on a rampage? You know, we still have Loki, who's out there floating around in the universes, in the timeline, in the world. I feel like looking back on the first four phases of Marvel with Thanos, it was very linear on the direction that was headed. And you got a little bit of a twist when they got to go back in time to take down Thanos. But this is just opens it up to explode with that universe and who they can introduce. It seems like everything is fair game. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's still some copyright things with Sony and the X-Men and Spider-Man and all that other stuff. And they can only use them for a certain amount of time, you know, in a film. But that was just stunning.
I think that this movie will open the door for the ultimate bad guy to come in. And
now, who is that? Because we thought it was Kang when we watched Loki.
I think it's going to be Kang.
You still think he's going to be the ultimate bad guy?
I think he's going to be the ultimate bad guy.
Well, what if he's working for somebody even more ultimate?
Ooh, but who would it be?
I don't know.
I'm not as familiar with the comics as a lot of people are. I have a rudimentary knowledge of the comics. I didn't get into comics until the nerd show started. So I have to admit that.
Overall, folks, if you've seen it already, I loved it. I think it's I'm starting to love it more than I've been talking about it, but 74% on Rotten Tomatoes and 86% on the audience score, which I think is pretty high and impressive.
Pretty low for Rotten Tomatoes, but I would say pretty average for fans.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd like it as much as they did, and I'm pretty glad by that, actually. I think their minds are open to not be as linear, like I said earlier, with the Thanos battles and fights and villain. It's like, wow.
A lot of people have third eyes on their head.
They do. Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll be back to talk about Moon Knight after this break. The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I'm your co-host, Nick Kenny, with Micah, as Scott is out this week, and we do miss him. We'll have him all three of us back in studio next week. We just wrapped up Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. That won't be the only time we're talking about that. I know that it's going to come up again the more that we dissect that and things open up. But we also had another series finale wrap a few weeks ago now, which was Moon Knight. And
the question is, do we like it?
You know, I they are getting a season two.
Oh, so it's official now.
Well, I don't know. I saw it on a Screen Rant thing the other day.
Okay. Well, Screen Rant's pretty good about getting it. They get a few things wrong. Usually they correct it immediately. But yeah, Screen Rant's pretty good when it comes to news. They get a lot of their news from reputable sources.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think they're funded by Marvel, it seems.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd say yes, because a lot of their reviews are quite kind.
Oh, probably, yes.
Yeah. Funded by Marvel and Disney.
But they also probably have the personality of a non-Micah who is critical, which is good. This is balances the show.
Well, you know, I don't mind someone being critical of something as long as it's correct critical, as long as it's warranted criticism. If it's like, well, I didn't like it because I thought the music was bad. Well, that's why you didn't like the movie? That's maybe one reason to dock points off the movie, if you thought the music was bad. American History X, I thought the music was over the top. It was a great movie.
I don't know American History X.
It's a movie that came out in 2000 or so. It's a pretty good movie.
I'll lock that away.
It's not a nerdy movie.
That's all right. We can like non-nerdy movies. Well, Moon Knight had 6 episodes this season. Rumor is, at least right now, there is a season 2 coming out. We left it on episode 5 a few weeks ago when we were talking. Actually, it's been a few weeks beyond that because we did an all-Star Wars show on May 4th. So we're several weeks behind in this review. So I guess no spoilers here unless you still haven't seen it. Then tune in next week because we'll have Nick Armstrong on from the Fort Collins Comic-Con that's coming up in August. But in the meantime, this Moon Knight, every series that's come out so far, Loki, WandaVision, Moon Knight, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, they've just been incredible short stories.
Some of them better than others.
Oh, yeah. You know, if I had to rank them right now, I think there's been 5 because we also had, why am I spacing on his name? Bow and Arrow Guy.
Oh, yeah, Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. There we go.
That was one of my least favorite.
I liked it more than Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but not as much as WandaVision and Loki. So I think I will rank them now. I'd like WandaVision, Loki, Moon Knight, Hawkeye, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I cannot dispute your logic too much. I think we are right about there. I would flip Loki and WandaVision. Maybe put Falcon the Winter Soldier ahead. Although Falcon the Winter Soldier, boy, did that not stick the landing. Boy, at the last 20 minutes, just really,
yeah, yeah. I need to. I just don't have the time to rewatch them. So I hope this summer calms down a little bit. I do need to watch Moon Knight again because so much happened and it was so convoluted.
Especially the last couple episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of times I've noticed, if it's like a 12-episode show, episode 10 or 11 will be the tangent, get to know somebody, figure out, it's not really a part of the main plot, but you know something more about someone, and it's a lot of times kind of a boring episode. It was like that episode, either 7 or 8 of season 2 of Stranger Things, which comes out May 27th.
Same day as Star Wars.
Yes.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that's going to be a really, really interesting time of the month.
At least it's Memorial Day weekend, so I'll take Monday off work and, you know, have a few barbecues and enjoy a lot of nerdy watching.
Not saying that I'm working that day, but it's possible.
Oh, we got to do a review of Stranger Things before that starts. Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm excited about that, too. I'm currently going back and watching Stranger Things. Anyway, back to Moon Knight. Sorry, my tangent fault. Episode 5 was exactly like that. It halted the main plot, and it went back and explained why Mark Spector's character was the way he was, why he's Mark.
And why he's Steven. Created Steven. I mean, you know, the amount of studying they've done into dissociative identity disorder is incredible because...
And this was kind of a pop culture version of it, so they're not going to go into the really ugly nuts and bolts of it, but they softened it quite a bit.
No, I think they did enough. You know, the parallels they made between Amit and Mark's mom, you know, where she was judging Mark for his responsibility of his younger brother dying.
Which was very tragic for her.
And so she embodies a lot of Amit, the god, and who wants to judge people before she really got to know them. And there was no chance for Mark to redeem himself because that was her impression. She was judging him for that action. And had she known beforehand, you know, maybe would have had him dead basically. But Amit was the same thing of you don't even have a chance to make a choice, which is, you know, I like Khonshu, who at least lets people make a choice and choose whether or not they're going to be evil. They're both not the best gods in Egypt, but it was just, you know, when we lost Stephen in episode 5 and for Mark to really discover, okay, well, you know, he's not complete. His hearts aren't full, you know, so he had to go back for Stephen. But something that was fascinating when he was in the asylum, that is where they think that we're the third personality has taken control. The one that was in the sarcophagus, the one who killed the people on the roof, who killed the people in Germany, where, you know, Mark was aware, Stephen was aware, like, no, that wasn't us. We get that character toward the end. But, you know, I love the story of the hippopotamus, you know, coming and helping him to discover what he has to do to be at peace, to be complete. It was powerful. I mean, it was probably some of the deepest and darkest of the Marvel. I mean, between that and Doctor Strange 2, there's been a lot of dark storytelling here.
It did have some dark storytelling. I absolutely agree. And I would say that episode 5 was my favorite episode. And I normally don't like these episodes. Yeah, I know they have to exist to say this is how emotional the character is. You must feel this way about the character. But I actually really got more. Before it was like, oh, Oscar Isaac is an amazing actor. And that's how I felt about Mark and Steven. Now I actually felt more emotional about the characters because you were like, wow, this is what happened in the kid's life. His father was the only one that cared about him. His mother was just not around, hated him, drinking all the time. He was afraid of his mother. And every time she came, Stephen came out.
Well,
Stephen was the one.
Stephen was the one to remember the kindness that his mom had.
Yeah, and then Mark
before
came out to protect Stephen.
No, Mark did not come out to protect Stephen. You know who came out to protect Stephen? Was Jake. The
oh,
third
Jake.
Personality.
Yeah, you're right. The third personality.
So I think Mark, you know, you lost all of Mark that day we first see him separate himself and his personality, where his eyes rolled back in the head, which is apparently what happens with DID. And it was fascinating. All the people who died when Amit was released and they were stealing the souls and judging people, all of their eyes rolled back in their heads too. I like the that small connection that they had. But, you know, we don't get Jake very much, but it's when he's getting his butt kicked is when Jake Lockley comes out, which is why Steven doesn't remember it, which is why Mark doesn't remember it, because that was the personality that they didn't really want to pretend exists, because that was the one taking all of that trauma, that abuse from his mom and all other parts of his life. And we're, you know, afraid to bring that out and be aware of it, to give it credence, really. I wish we had more of Jake, but we're going to get that, I think, in season 2 of can they even bring him into this mix and learn how to control that?
Because there was a post-credit scene.
Yeah, it was.
With presumably Jake.
That was absolutely Jake. Oh, it was so good. We'll be back with more of Moon Knight after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show here on KFKA in the Allo Communications studios. We've been talking a lot about Marvel. Gosh, just the darkness, the deepness of it all. Moon Knight. I can't wait to watch it. I mean, that wasn't a very long series. The episodes were reasonable. But boy.
Last episode was what? 42 minutes?
I think so, which is kind of short for some of the shows that have aired that have had that few of episodes.
And that one, that too, wasn't the best. It wasn't the best ending. The post-credit scene was great, but it really wasn't. It just kind of, they had that fight scene and it just kind of ended, and it was an all right ending to what I thought was a really great series. I didn't think it was popular. I don't think a lot of people liked it that much.
It was definitely a dark series and an uncomfortable topic to be broached anywhere because there's so little known about it. And it's not like people go around talking about their multiple personalities. But I love the connection of bringing it into a pop culture of feeling emotions for Steven, for Mark, to see where they are, to see where Layla was kind of coming in and taking over. Was she going to get was she going to be Khonshu's next avatar? And then for her to get her wings and her kind of superhero costume powers, it was pretty awesome. After she took the scarab from Mark's corpse, well, it was a temporary corpse. But, you know, it makes sense now looking back and watching some, you know, just follow-up videos and reading of, okay, well, they took down Ethan Hawke's character, but they still had to bring him back so they can, you know, kill him and Amit at the same time. Where were the other gods at that point? Have they all, like, really died or just their avatars died from when Amit was released? I think – and what happened to all those other gods who were in those stone statues? You know, we were under the impression there were, what, 13 gods? You know, we get that from the first episode. But then there's a wall that's kind of like Indiana Jones-esque of trying to get back into the crypts. So I like those kind of nods to some really great sci-fi history there. But what happens next? If there is a season two, you know, where do you go from here? You know, these Egyptian gods, you know, is Khonshu still in control? Is Mark still going to be the Moon Knight? And is he going to be able to work with Jake? And that was the post-credit scene. We see Harrow getting the limo, which in the comic books was Stephen, Dr. Stephen Grant's way around. He would always ride in a limousine. So it was neat to see Khonshu back there. And then Oscar Isaac as Jake kind of turn around as that like kind of cab driver. And that was a dark, chilling moment there for it to wrap up. But we also see Jake, you know, when we look back through the series, he was probably the one who was confident to ask out that girl on a date. That wasn't Steven. There's no way that was going to be Steven. And Mark was with Layla, you know. And then he was the one who killed the people on the roof, who killed the people in Germany, and he was probably drunk in Cairo when he woke up in the hotel room because, again, that's not Mark. Mark is there to serve Khonshu. Steven's trying to figure everything out and is kind of wimpy until he realizes he can wield the Moon Knight powers. And now they just go back and forth interchangeably. Heck, in that flight sequence they had, I love it too. That's like, wait, he can fly now? And it just reminded me of Star Wars. They can fly now? They can fly now? They can fly now? Well, Oscar Isaac's character can now fly. But they're going back and forth interchangeably between the awesome Moon Knight suit and that really suave suit that that Steven can take control of. So what does Moon Knight look like when Jake Lockley is in charge? That's what I'm interested in.
I hope he has lasers.
I don't know, because he was always covered in blood after those fights. Does he look more like
Khonshu? Probably not then. Then I hope he has a scythe. That would be rad.
Yes. The Grim Reaper weapon?
Yes. That would be sweet.
You know, it was I really enjoyed that series. I cannot wait to watch it again and pick up all the pieces that I had missed out on earlier. Because that's the thing, going back after you see the series, like, okay, that makes a lot more sense. That makes a lot more sense. But I still can't really – well, and then also when Amit's taking all those souls and just growing into this kaiju-sized creature and they're fighting on the pyramids, excellent action sequences there. But we go into the moral story of it is, where do you think of the fairness is? You know, you have Khonshu who's, you know, punishes you for when you do evil, and Amit who wants to pre-punish you so that there is less evil.
They're both wrong.
Well, I think, yeah.
I mean, you should have a fair trial.
You should have
at least a fair trial. In our culture, you should have a fair trial. Like, everyone is supposed to have a fair trial. You can't have a god, unless you have a religion, like your god can judge you, but like a god, a separate god with powers judging you based off of what you've done, that just doesn't seem fair to me.
Well,
that one deity's idea of good and evil.
Well, that's why you can't have more than 13 gods. That's probably why some of them were stoned. I say stone, but turned to stone.
Turned to stone, and you were gone.
So who do they free? You know, who do they put into stone? Were they worse than, you know, their version of the High Council or whatever you want to call it?
Or maybe they were all just misbehaving, playing with their powers a little bit too much.
So these are good ones, barely stood a chance against Ahmet. But, you know, what was interesting is when she judges Harrow, he was bad. She made an exception for him. So how fair is that? Okay, you're going around saying that you're going to prejudge people. Oh, well, you're going to be bad, but you're still going to be my henchman. So that was...
That's his punishment, I guess.
Yeah. His
do you think he really enjoyed that?
Him being loyal, like, to her, is that a way just to say, hey, I could take you at any moment because you should be judged just as harshly as we are judging and taking all the souls of
maybe she knows. Maybe she knows. Maybe he knows. And he believes the same thing that she does. And he knows one day he will be judged like she's going to judge everybody else. So he's saying, okay, I will be your henchman. Judge me in the future once you have cleansed the earth.
Well, and to go back to Mark, too, and why he had to go back for Stephen, I love that redeeming moment of that was his chance to save kind of his brother, you know, to go back and to rescue him.
And it didn't feel like I'm going to rescue him because I need to. I'm going to rescue him because he needs to be rescued.
Yeah.
It wasn't a selfish thing. It was a, I feel for him.
Well, and they're kind of, you can't have one without the other. And for him to go back to rescue that consciousness, to save him, that's where I want to still figure that out of how did that all work? There's still so much more to unpack with Moon
Knight. Is this approved?
Oh, for me, it's approved.
It's definitely approved for me. Nerd Show approved.
Nerd Show stamp of approval. Well, thank you all for listening to this week's Nerd Show episode. Again, Nick Armstrong from Fort Collins Comic Con will be on the show live next week. So we'll hear about what's coming to Fort Collins Comic Con soon. Other than that, you stay nerdy.